Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Good afternoon, everybody! Can you hear me okay at the back? Excellent. And a very, very warm welcome to this next session. My name's Sophie Devonshire. I'm the CEO of the Marketing Society, and I'm so delighted to be hosting this next conversation, which I hope is going to be interesting. I know it's going to be interesting. I hope it's going to be useful, punchy, and we've got a tiny, tiny bit of time to get as much as possible from three amazing leaders today. So my task is going to be to keep them on track, to ask them some questions and make sure that what we've got at the end of this is some examples of what it takes to be a marketing leader cutting through the sea of sameness that everyone's having to fight at the moment. And what we want to think about today is, what does it take to be a connected CMO, and why does that happen? And why does it matter, and how does it happen? The Marketing Society is so delighted to partner up with Advertising Week. We've been doing it for a number of years, and I love this smorgasbord of stimulation that we have across this week. We're a global community of change makers in marketing who love to find ways to unlock the best in each other. We want to help great marketeers do well in their careers and do good inside their organisations, in society, and in the economy as a whole. Because it's an amazing profession, marketing, right? But it's pretty hard. So we know that by sharing the stories of what people have got wrong, what they're doing right, what they've learnt, it's a great way to accelerate our success. And it's fun to hear the stories behind marketing success as well. So I'm going to tell you about the three brilliant marketing leaders that we've got on stage with us this afternoon. First of all, we have Jess. Jess Myers is the Dynamic Chief Marketing Officer for The Very Group. If any of you don't know who The Very Group are, they're the people behind littlewords.com and very.co.uk. So they've got over 4.8 million customers. 2,000 big brands and lots of popular own brand collections, and one amazing CMO who heads up this, one of the UK's biggest pure play digital multi-category retailers. Jess is brilliant. She is a commercial marketer to the core, and she goes into this, she's just gone into this retail role, having had a whole career working in financial services with people like Metro Bank, NatWest, and the Commonwealth Brand of Australia. So you're going to be hearing from Jess in a moment. You're also going to be hearing from the fantastic Bart McKells. So Bart has done many incredible things in his career, including hiring me many years ago when he was very, very briefly my boss at Coca-Cola for all too brief a period. And he's gone on to be the client man heading up some brilliant agency groups. So he was CEO of Kantar in Europe, and he's now heading up one of the most vertiginously high growth agency groups at the moment. So MSQ is the parent company behind The Gate, Walk-in Media, Smart, Stein IES, and all kinds of other brilliant, brilliant parts of it all. So Bar and his team work with CMOs and other marketeers to understand how to make them be a bit more connected, a bit more effective at what they do. And then last but not least, we have Rachel Swift, who is joining us on stage today. She's the fab Chief Customer Officer at Tesco Mobile, another massively award-winning marketer. She's always recognised in lots of top 100 lists, and someone who moved from agency side to client side as well, and is a creative and inspiring leader. And she's had experience with John Lewis and Marks and Spencers and O2. Very good at creating great campaigns that cut through the sea of sameness and deliver great commercial results. Three different people, three different sets of experience, less than 30 minutes now for us to find out lots from them. So please welcome to the stage, Jess, Bart, and Rachel. Okay. Just going to make sure they line up in front of the pictures, because it's nothing more annoying than, can you see? Yep, perfect. Great. So lots to talk about. Let's get started. I'm going to pick on you first, Jess. such interesting things been happening at Very. And you've talked a lot about this idea of trying to break through the oceans of everything being the same, the sea of sameness. You're an online retailer, multiple touch points, complex operational supply chain. So how do you ensure you also deliver on distinctiveness and differentiation while also making sure you've got your customers who are satisfied with it all? Tell us how it's done.
Well, who does that? That's a big job, isn't it? So sea of sameness is something we absolutely agonise over. I think, you know, as you've just talked about, we are a retailer and retail is just the most competitive category. I think actually it was System One who said that UK retail at Christmas is the most competitive globally. Mm. So operating that environment where we're all snapping for market share of wallet is significant. You know, and for us as a retailer, we've got multiple categories. We're over 10 different categories. So yes, I'm competing with department stores. But we've got fashion, home, electricals, toys, gifts, beauty, basically everything other than perishables and books, I believe we sell. You can also buy compost with us. So lots of different competitors out there to try and compete with during quite a tricky period. But we're also a pure play digital retailer, which means we're only online. So we don't have the benefit of people walking down the high street and seeing our store. Our shopfront is online. So everything we do to attract people into the shopfront is all about the marketing that we do. It's incredibly important, you know, and the marketing we do, the channels we use and how we build the brand to do that. So we've been on quite a journey over the last 18 months since I've joined to be really clear about understanding the business strategy, the brand strategy and getting clarity into that. But if I spent the time talking about that, I'll be here for the entire 30 minutes. So I won't be selfish, but I think one of the things I found quite useful throughout my career, and whether that is there's different frameworks, there are different models, there's different processes that you'll all go through to be really clear on it. But I think there's three things that really stick in my mind. I'm pretty sure I nicked this from Mark Ritson quite some time ago, but you know, I will share it with you. It's about thinking about the three C's. And this one's been really helpful for me. So the first one is understanding your company. Right. So, of course, your purpose. Who are you? What do you stand for? How do you operate? But really importantly, how does your company make money? Every single marketer should understand how your company makes money and the value that you create. Right. So that's the company piece. You then need to understand your customer. And when I say customer, not all customers are equal. And I'm sure we'll talk about customer value later. You want to understand who your most valuable customers are, how you track them into the business and what your business offers that's really attractive to your customer, right? So obsession on the customer is the second C. And the third one then is the competition. And that's where you come through to the sea of sameness, right? So you think about clarity on the business, clarity on the customer helps you unlock going through that sea of sameness. And so we've been on a journey to pull all of that together with a really clear, defined, distinctive brand strategy, which we launched with a really clear and compelling piece of creative communication over our golden quarter, which is the 12 weeks leading into Christmas. And the number one goal for that, when we were pulling the work together with The Gate, who are part of MSQ Partners, obviously, was break through the sea of sameness. That was the brief, and that's what they did. So that's been really helpful for me to think about how we bring those things together.
Such a good framework, that. So, you know, making sure that proper understanding is there, the company, the customer, and bringing it all together like that. I always like the way you phrase the golden quarter too, like it's this wonderful, easy period of time when it's so stressful as a retailer. But taking the time to get that strategy right before you brought it to life is fantastic. But yes, very, very competitive market. And Rachel, you work in one of the most competitive markets out there. What are the things you've been doing with your team to make sure you stand out then as well?
Yeah, so for anybody that doesn't know, Tesco Mobile is a joint venture between Tesco and Virgin Media O2. We've got 5.5 million customers, and we're the biggest mobile virtual network operator in the country. And we've had a huge amount of success over the last 3 years. And I believe that is absolutely down to cutting through the sea of sameness. And I think we can sort of attribute that to three things, really. The first one is, like Jess, having a very, very clear brand strategy, very compelling, differentiated, that actually the whole business understands, because brand and marketing communications can only play a very, very small role in turning the dial in consideration of the brand overall. And so really making sure that everyone in the business understands the brand strategy and understands the role that they can play in delivering it. So setting that out very, very clearly along with our agency partners that supported us with that. Secondly, we transformed our business to an agile business over the last 2 years, which from a transformation perspective has been really tough, but actually we're starting to see the green shoots of that now coming through. And by the very nature of the term agile, as you'd imagine, that means that we're able to be much quicker in the way that we get products and services out to market. So that's been a really big shift for the team, actually, because understanding a whole new way of working, you know, we've been so used to working in a certain way for so many years, and changing those sort of neural pathways to a very different way of working has been really tough. But yeah, that actually has been one of, I think, the critical unlocks for our success, because we're able to start small, really listen to the customer, inspect and adapt as we go, and then scale for success. And that's been, you know, really beneficial for us as a business. But actually a third one, and something we focused on really heavily as an organization, is a cultural shift that's allowed. So by being an agile business, it means that we empower our teams to be their best, give them the right framework, the right brief, the right guardrails, and the right support around that. But we now have a really empowered, motivated group of colleagues who feel like they're working for a growing business. I mean, we've actually gained, you know, double-digit market share growth in the last 3 years in a market that's got really no growth. You know, if you think about mobile penetration, it's at sort of like 98% or something. So it's a really tough market. And, you know, we think that's down to those sort of three areas.
I love that. And that's the responsibility as a leader of it all, is not just looking outside, but building the brand from inside out.
Absolutely.
And that cultural shift. I mean, I love the need for speed and getting everybody to be in that position, which allows you to be more innovative as well. Yes. Huge transformation. As part of that, I guess you're joining things up internally and then joining up things externally. But I know, I mean, you've talked a lot about the idea of joined up thinking at MSQ. You've worked, you know, with some big global brands inside them as well. How do you look at driving impact for clients at scale? And what does that joined up thinking actually mean for people? Why is it useful?
I mean, I think it starts with you know, sort of understanding what clients really need. And everyone here is either sort of buying services from potential partners or selling services as a partner, potential clients. And, you know, from when I was a client, clients really only want two things. They want to be able to cut through, and they want to be able to get an unfair advantage. And I think, you know, the premise of an unfair advantage is much harder in this current world because it's much more multimodal and multidisciplinary than it ever was. And if you look at the traditional holding company model, of which I spent 17 years, and I've got a huge amount of admiration and fondness for WPP and the like, because the way in which those groups built scale, breadth and depth to support clients and scale was really impressive. The challenge is that model is changing so fast and so fundamental. And the bigger you are, the harder it is, obviously, to make that change. So one of the reasons why we put MSQ together is the premise of, if you put technology, media and data and creativity together on top of the right culture, you can find incredible value in the gaps between a lot of those services that will benefit clients better and give them that unfair advantage. And I think really a lot of the time, it's about working out how you can deliver that with a really good knowledge and understanding of the company, of the customer and the brand or business you're trying to really work with. And at the end of the day, it's not rocket science. Having been on both sides of the fence, you really just have to deliver two things. One is you've got to be really good at what you do. So your capabilities, what you say you can do and what clients want, you have to be able to do that. And the other is you've got to deliver what real partnership is. And partnership, when it comes down to brass tacks, is caring as much about the impact of the work that you do as the client does, so that you're in the boat together. And, you know, I think when that works, it's hugely successful and it's a really modern idea.
It's so good, isn't it? That piece when you are properly joined up and it feels like you're all in it together, because you can't do it alone. You have to have the expertise and everybody working together to get that. And I think it is a really interesting and important point that we're at this moment in time when things are changing so fast. So getting it all set up with the right people involved. I'm just thinking about the joined up thinking piece in a slightly different way for you, Rachel, because actually for Tesco Mobile, standing out the sameness
you've done it by becoming more connected to your master brand. So you're actually closer to something. Just tell us what you did and why that made a difference as well.
Yeah, sure. So when I joined Tesco Mobile a few years ago now, and we were reviewing the brand strategy and looking at, you know, how we were going to win, how we were going to compete in this highly competitive market, we really identified as a team and, you know, with our agency partners that actually leaning into the benefits and the brand attributes of Tesco was what was going to help us stand out. If you think about the telco market, you know, it can be a sea of sameness, actually, very much so. It's quite hard to, you're selling a commoditized product. It's quite hard to differentiate in that market. But actually leaning on the great things that supermarkets do. So supermarkets offer brilliant value, great quality and excellent service. And, you know, really honing on those three things and creating that value proposition for Tesco Mobile was actually what really helped us stand out. You know, the telco market is not necessarily known for great customer service. So the benchmarks for that were quite low. So actually Tesco is known for great customer service. And we were starting from a real position of strength then as well. Right. Tesco Mobile is the only telco in the top 50 in the CSI index. And we're number 5 at the moment. So, you know, we've got great strength and great heritage in this space. So really, really leaning in on that and leaning into the Every Little Helps part of Tesco. Has been really successful for us. And another thing, you know, another opportunity and that the Tesco Group affords Tesco Mobile is obviously the club card data opportunities that we have. And
lots of data.
Yeah. And, you know, there are 24 million, you know, club card customers in the country now. So, and we've got a relatively limited penetration of that. So the headroom for growth is massive. So connecting the dots, as you say, not just from, you know, a brand and marketing perspective, but also from a data and personalization perspective is definitely where we see the opportunity for us.
Feels like you've only just got started.
Oh, yeah.
So that's more, we're going to watch that as well. We talked a lot about the commercial side of things and making sure we're as commercially focused as possible. I'm going to ask you, Jess, how are you bringing together tech and insight and marketing as the CMO? And what role, and especially as you're here with Bart, what role do the agencies play in bringing all those together to be more commercially focused?
Yeah. Speaking to my sweet spot now, Sophie. So as I talked about then in terms of data, so data is a huge, significant part of the entire story here. So let's take the Very Group, for example. I just talked about, 4.8 million customers, over 10 different categories, over 2,000 brands. So the shopper data we have across our site, all of our channels, is incredible. But as well as being a retail business, we're also a financial services tech business as well. The majority of our customers come into our integrated models we offer retail, as well as flexible payment options. So buy now, pay later, pay in 3. So I also have financial services data on the majority of my customers, because the majority of them come in using retail and financial service together. So we are sitting on probably the UK's largest data asset, and that comes with a massive amount of responsibility, but it also makes me incredibly excited, because as a marketer, we have the data right in our fingertips, and I also have all the channels. So the really key question, if I start to go back to those three C's, and I'll talk about the company and also about the customer, marketers need to understand how the business makes money. Because our job is to drive accelerated business growth. And having that data at your fingertips is absolutely the keys to the kingdom in built to do that. Because it helps you really understand what the business needs and how you're going to drive that with your customer. Now, we all know that not all customers are equal, right? So understanding customer value is really important. So we did a massive piece of segmentation to really understand where value is going to come from. So we did a really piece of value-based piece segmentation. And we also did an attitudinal-based piece segmentation. So not only do I know as a marketer who is my most valuable customer, exactly what do they look like, how many of them are in the UK, where is the headroom for growth, where am I going to find these and acquire these customers. I also know exactly which channels to use, because I've got them insert all of my media modeling into that. I know exactly which channels to use to acquire them. And I know exactly how they're feeling from the attitudinal segmentation. So I know how to appeal to them from our business perspective, their wants and dreams, their hopes and fears, what they love, they hate. And as a marketer, having all of that together has been incredibly powerful. I put that in the hands of the agencies as well, because it's a we thing, not a me thing, right? Our agency is an extension of our own team. If everyone doesn't have access to the same data, the same insight. How are we going to work together to create the magic? So working together with the agency partners, giving them that access, welcoming them into the process is really important. What's been most fundamental, because we all know that bit, right? I think I'm preaching to converted with all of that. The most important bit that I found most powerful at our business is how we got the board to come along on the journey with us in terms of the marketing investment. So not only do we use the value segmentation that we have in place, I also have all of our econometrics modeling. I also have my own internal value-based modeling these all things say the same thing, right? Which is really very useful. And obviously, you know, from a science perspective, we know it's going to say the same thing. And we all have all of our brand tracking as well. And the journey I've been able to describe to the board with the marketing team is, this is what the best customer looks like. This is where they are. This is how we need to acquire them. This is how we did acquire them. And now they're in our base, this is how much value they're driving for the business. And connect every single pound we spend to the value we deliver for the business. So 18 months on, I've just had a significant increase in our marketing budget as we go into the next year. And the most important part that you want to hear from that, the significant increase has come into our brand budget. And we are really changing the balance between brand and performance by being able to paint the picture of just how important the brand spend is for driving those loyal, highly valuable customers that buy into our proposition and remain incredibly sticky. So
such a gorgeous story of how to bring the board on board and support and get the impact from it all. I love that. And Bart, I know you worked with Very and MSQ worked with Very, so you saw all that firsthand. You've also done this amazing bit of research with the CMOs and CTOs looking at how they deal with it in tech-driven world. Anything else from that, from in terms of themes that are relevant that would help?
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, Jess obviously was one of the subjects of this research. We spoke to over 50 CMOs and CTOs. And actually, if I go back a little bit and say, why did we do this? I think we'd sort of noticed that the world had atomized a bit. It was happening anyway. COVID really exacerbated it. And companies were sort of emerging in two spheres, really. They were super thriving. They'd learned and, you know, implemented, or they were really struggling. And there was definitely some learning in that to sort of understand, you know, the ones that were winning, why were they winning? The ones that weren't winning, what were their challenges? And there's just some really interesting themes. The study was called Connecting the Disconnected. And if you're interested, it's available. You can have a look at it. It's for free. But there were some really interesting themes. And I won't go through them all, but I think broadly what they helped understand was some of the barriers that particularly legacy businesses had to overcome in this new era in order to get where they needed to be successful. So some of them, I'm sure you can imagine, is really about adapting to new operating models. A lot of it about data. So some of the stuff Jess has talked about, you know, whether the data is in the right place, you have access to the data, someone else has got it, someone hasn't. One of the themes that came out that I love most was that people who were successful were exercising what I call positive subversion.
Oh,
so they were
positive
subversion. So they were subverting their own operating models to get what they needed. And not that it was lawless, it was just they're being really smart. And I think Jess is a brilliant proponent of doing this successfully. And what that means is, if, for example, in the case of data, data sits somewhere in the organization that you don't have access to, and someone is basically guarding it, is you find a way to get access to that, either through putting a person on their team or asking a question that can only be answered with that data at a high level, that means that someone senior has to unlock it. But whatever you do to subvert it, to get that data, is what really works. And the other area was in the product side of things. Actually, on another example with a FS client, they elevated the issue of data, as Jess said, to the board. And they said, right, we need data to be owned by everybody. And the concept of stewardship as opposed to ownership is one that I really encourage all of you who have this problem in your businesses to ask. Nobody owns data in the organization. You know, some people have responsibility for it, but everybody should have stewardship of all data. And that's a really big point to sort of get behind. I think the other one was product teams and technology teams. And the positive subversion here was, I love the fact that some people would implant customer and brand people into technology teams because they knew that that was the only way they were going to make sure that what was created was fit for purpose through the customer experience journey. And then the other one was actually people hiring technology people into marketing teams so that they could actually talk the language of the technology team in things like product design, development, delivery. So lots of little subversion techniques. And there's a lot more where that came from. But I think the benefit of all of that was, when you put those constructs in place, when you did those little subversions, when you ask difficult questions and you put it in the realms of serving customers better or driving differentiation, things got unlocked. And actually, there's lots of tips and tricks in there as well.
It's so nice just to steal those tips and tricks from other people and get their... I really like the idea of stewardship as well. I think that's a great language unlock. So you've not got all the silos fighting over it all, but bringing it all together. Because ultimately, that's what you're all talking about, this piece of the marketing leaders connecting up the agencies, the data, the silos, the customer, the what's happening with the board, bringing all that together. And it's not easy. So what's also not easy is I'm going to ask you one word to describe what you think the best connected CMOs are or describe what they should be to sum up what you're thinking about here. Jess, one word, connected CMO, what word's important?
Oh, velocity.
Velocity? Speed in a given direction. Yes, knowing where you're going and moving super fast in the right direction. Yes, I love that one, but...
I can't do one word, and I don't take the brief unless you force me to. I'm just going to say, ask if it's different and better. Always ask yourself, is this different and better, whatever you're doing?
Good question. I like it. Rachel?
Creativity. I can respond to the brief.
I'm telling you to be on the
That's what cuts through a sea of sameness, and that's what allows you to be different, to your point, and
we
effective.
Should celebrate that and celebrate creativity. It is really important. It drives innovation, drives everything else. Well, the one thing I would say as well, listening to all this and knowing the CMOs I know who is determined, you have to be determined to bring all that together. And the stories we've heard today of what people do and what they've achieved are fantastic. So thank you so much, Rachel and Jess and Bart, and for everyone for being here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.